Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you explain a little bit about how, like, you lease the space? How does that work? What will that mean for a musical fair?
This is a unique agreement because it's not a typical landlord-tenant lease. It is a collaboration and a cooperative agreement for what we're doing here on the stage. Musical Fair will be responsible for everything that happens on the stage, but we will be working with Shays, for obviously within the building and within the revenues and expenses and all of that. We both will have skin in the game.
So not like an actual rent, like a rent check.
It's much better than that, in my opinion. Because it really does reward both organizations, and it incentivizes both organizations to really do some great work here.
Randy, I know the original plan was obviously to build a facility in Amherst, but that obviously fell through. Was this? I don't want to say it was a backup plan, but was this always in the cards as something that was a possibility as well, or did this kind of just spring up, with this agreement?
Well, we've worked here and we've done shows here, usually one, sometimes two a year for a number of years, so almost a decade. Brian and I were having a conversation and we were talking about one of our productions that we couldn't extend, that we couldn't get enough audiences in. And we talked about, well, maybe we should take that production to 710, but then that led to, hey, when this all happened, maybe 710 is the place to land for all of our shows. And we're very excited about it.
Yeah. Well, there was a commitment to make this work right from the very beginning. Our chair, John Dandies, and Randy, and his chair, Susan Grelick, were involved intimately in the negotiation because we saw that in structuring this deal, if we both had an incentive to make this work as opposed to just a straight rental, that there is no incentive other than you're getting your rental fee. John and I have talked about the larger vision for downtown Buffalo, for the theater district, and the only way that you get business activity here is to introduce more people to the space that ordinarily wouldn't be here. So Musical Fair will do 100 net new productions, shows here at 710, which will increase the number of people coming into downtown Buffalo, the number of people coming into the theater district. When they come, they spend money, and that's good for the economy of the city of Buffalo. Musical Fair, under Randy's leadership, has an outstanding reputation for doing a good quality production shows. Since Shays took over 710, formerly Studio Arena, he has done 130 shows here, bringing in 30,000 people, and this will just amplify that relationship, that partnership, that collaborative, call it what you will. And this is a theater group that's moving into the city and not out of it. And that too, I think, is very, very important. As Randy has said, as John Dandies has said, we feel Shays has a parental responsibility, not only to the theater district, but to all of the organic homegrown theaters, of which there are almost two dozen. So this is going to work. We have great partners already. We already had a partnership with Musical Fair. It's been deepened, as I mentioned previously. And this is a very, very good thing for Buffalo and Western New York.
What's it like to expand your seating capacity, too? You go from, like, those 130 to, over
scared.
Well, we've done that here before for shows. So we're projecting in a similar way that we've had in the past. What's exciting is the upside is so much better. In our 136-seat theater, we are budgeting out 85% of that theater. Here we will budget out 50 to 55%. And so the upside, when a show hits and when people really want to come, we'll be able to accommodate them, which will be great for both Musical Fair and Chase.
And just your visibility down here, being part of the theater district scene and not just like on a campus somewhere.
I think that's post-COVID, I think that's very, very important. I think people want to go to places where they can do multiple things. No one just wants to walk into a theater and then walk out. And so we're going to have Friday and Saturday night performances in our cabaret after our shows like we do at Musical Fair. But now all the people on this block who are seeing other shows can come over and can spend some time here. And this is just, I'm very excited about the possibilities. I know Brian is too.
And this is just to know, you know, theaters throughout the country and the industry have had a very difficult time recovering from the pandemic. Shays Performing Arts Center is an outlier. All three of our campuses were showing annual increases and double-digit increases since the pandemic. And you look throughout the country, whether it's Chicago, Seattle, Los Angeles, shows, season ticket subscribers are down. We are up. And again, that's a very, very good economic driver for downtown Buffalo and the theater district. So Musical Fair is also an outlier. They have experienced increases in their season ticket subscribers. And the combination, that nexus, that partnership, that collaborative will be a very powerful force, not only for the creativity that people in Buffalo and West America have become accustomed to, but also the economics behind it as well. And when we're successful, we can invest in arts and education. We can invest in doing a lot of the things that we want to do, digitizing, advertising for business purposes, but also for artistic purposes, to make the theater district a destination in Buffalo and Western New York. But you've got to invest in that, and this will allow us to do that jointly and separately. But this is a good deal. And it's because of Musical Fair's outstanding reputation that, you know, one of the reasons we're so excited about this collaboration.
Are there any plans to change the facade or inside of the building now that you guys own?
There are conversations, right?
There are conversations. We will have announcements in the future. And this is not 5 years. This is in the next 12 to 24 months. About a lot more improvements that John Dandies and I have talked about, that we're excited about, but they have to be planned and prepared. But we're looking at models like Playhouse Square in Cleveland. That is an outlier. It's probably the most successful theater group. There's 11 theaters there. Cleveland is a similar demographic as Buffalo socioeconomically, and they're doing some innovative things that we want to replicate and apply right here to Buffalo's Theater District.
Are you almost glad that, I hate to say it like this, but when I talked to you in August, are you almost glad that the deal in Amherst didn't work out because this might even be better for you?
Well, I mean, you know, so many of our patrons are from Amherst, and they've been so supportive, many of them. That said, sometimes when you step back and when you just compare what we were talking about versus where we're at now, I think an objective eye would say that this is actually better for your theater company. And we're very excited about that.
Are there any worries about, you know, this was in a suburb and now you guys are moving to a city with parking and patrons maybe not wanting to come all the way down here?
Sure. We know our some of our subscribers will have, yeah, will have difficulty, you know, even recognizing how they can park or how they can come here. But we're going to work very hard to try to make parking easier, to try to create deals with restaurants, not only in the suburbs, but also in the city, where people might be able to park and then take a shuttle. So those are all conversations we're having, and we'll really start them after today, now that we're official. And so, you know, on top of that, we did very well when we were here, and we sold shows that weren't part of our subscription season. And we didn't have a majority of our subscribers even come. So we think that there's a great audience here, plus the audience that we already have.
So when's the last show at Musical Fair in that building, and when is the first show here?
Last show at Musical Fair is in May of 2025, which actually we're also doing at the same time, Legally Blonde here on this stage in May of 2025. First show here is October of 2025.
Is this going to change in any way the type of production that you're going to be doing?
Not necessarily. Our mission statement won't change. We'll be doing, you know, reconceived classics, regional premieres, and world premieres. So we just have to take into account the theater itself. And, you know, exactly what works really well. But this is a very, as much as it's a much larger space, it's still a very intimate space. And that intimacy and that audience engagement is our hallmark. So we're going to continue that.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.